Good morning. It is Wednesday. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff, as usual. Good morning.
Morning, Tiff.
What's going on?
Oh, not much.
Mountain Dew this morning? Is that the equivalent of coffee?
Yeah. Well, it was a half drink yesterday, so I brought it in here because I figured I'd finish it and get some caffeine this morning, yeah?
Well, it is diet Mountain Dew, so it's got zero calories.
No, it's a diet Mountain Dew, so it's got 5 calories. Zero Mountain Dew Zero's got 0 calories.
Whatever. I mean, 5, 0. What's the difference?
I don't know.
Zero Mountain Dew is a thing?
I didn't even know
Mountain
it was
Dew zero
thing.
Sugar. Yeah,
I didn't know that was a
thing.
Oh,
zero sugar, but not. Well, then
I thought you were talking about calories.
I just
processed
that. I don't know.
I'm confused.
Sugaries.
That a boy. Sugaries. Get it together.
Calories and sugar. I'm gonna tell you something. Don't count calories, count sugar, because sugar turns to fat, and your body stores it, and it's a lot harder to get rid of. I'm living proof. Look at me. Alcohol sugars are the worst. So you should put, I mean, just listen to me. I know about these things.
We should start
I'm
every
certified.
Show with you taking a hard look in the mirror.
Mm. Oh, man, we are 6:03. We already started.
Wow.
6:03. Goodness, we already started. Ding, ding.
I'd say
round one.
You know what?
He set it up. How am I not?
I just wish I wasn't the only one on this show that could look in the mirror and be honest.
Oh yes.
Dialogue. Buckle up.
I might have to start refereeing. I might have to start blowing the whistle.
Ding, ding. Hold on. What's he doing? What's Stallone doing? Well, I'm probably the only person that's even seen this movie in this room. But what's Stallone do at the end of Rocky? I believe 3. When him and Apollo are at the end of the fight,
I've seen that
and he
movie.
Goes,
it's just been a while.
He goes, ring the bell. He goes, ding, ding. I love it.
So oh, ridiculous. Man.
Speaking of which, the bell was rung last night. Freddie Freeman walks up there in the first inning. I mean, this blank, and I say those endearingly, is on fire. You talk about being in the zone. 4 home runs. In 4 games, it's actually 6 home runs in 6 World Series games dating back to when he was a Brave. Dude is 5-for-16 with 4 home runs and 10 RBIs in the World Series. The Dodgers lose last night. Yankees extend at 1. It'll probably be the gentleman's sweep, as they call it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would expect them.
For the Dodgers.
I mean,
brutal.
Yeah,
they punted last night.
They
didn't even try.
Well, look, they had them on the ropes. There's no doubt about it. The Dodgers had the Yankees on the ropes, and that grand slam that was it Volpe hit. That changed, and I think it was in the 4th or 5th inning. It might have been in the 5th. I can't remember. I was watching it 3rd inning. I was doing something else, and it kind of changed it. That was kind of the game with who they started. That if they gave up one, that was all right. But the play that I want to talk about real quick, and I definitely want to get your opinion on this, Tiff, or your thoughts, or because you're on a field and you're near a crowd, but Betts goes to catch a foul ball down the right field line, and he catches it. He catches it. His glove is in the crowd, and one fan. Starts grabbing his glove, and his buddy, or the guy next to him, yeah. Mr. Sunglasses at night, grabs his arm, and then the other guy starts raking the ball out. Well, he's wearing sunglasses. It's 8:30 at night.
Oh, man,
and,
that's funny.
Starts that's, raking yeah. it out, and they rake the ball out. Now, it wasn't out. Did not see them physically leave the stadium, but I am going to go ahead and assume, and whatever I read, that they were ejected.
Yeah, they were.
But this is not just egregious. This is, you are never allowed to come back to any Major League Baseball stadium ever.
Ever.
To me.
Yeah.
It's the biggest stage, Tiff, other than a Game 7 that you can have. And you physically...
You put your hands on someone.
You physically... By the law of the land, you physically assaulted someone. I know that you didn't hurt Betts, but... His arm's extended and you're grabbing and pulling on it. I don't like it one bit.
Just don't touch people. When I saw it, I was shocked that this is something that actually happened. It's one thing to try to reach for the ball because you see people just react and do that. But to physically put your hands on someone and grab at his arm as you're trying to pull this ball out was ridiculous. But I agree with you. I think they should be banned from all baseball stadiums. Just the look on their faces, it's like they weren't even – you can't be thinking you're doing something like that.
You know what's funny? As a guy who grew up a Cubs fan, I'm sitting there going, can we put Steve Bartman to bed now? Can Steve Bartman just hit the back burner? It's been 20 years.
These people are
was way worse than Steve Bartman.
The Bartman thing, so it goes back to the kid, and his name I think was Jeffrey something, but he's
– Jeffrey Mayer.
Was it Mayer?
Yeah, you're talking about Yankee Stadium?
Yeah. Against the Orioles, I think it was 1996. And he reaches over and grabs the home run ball. I think it was Tony Tarasco was the guy, I think, that was going to catch it for the Orioles.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, I remember him because he played for the Braves at one point.
Yeah.
And it changed that series, I think. I think it was Jeter is the one that hit it.
Had some good players in the 90s.
And you think about that one, right? And then you fast forward 8 years later.
Yeah, it was
04.
04, yeah.
Pretty sure it was 04. I remember because I'm pretty sure that was either the day my sister got married or like that she got married during that series.
Oh.
No, she got married during the Braves Cubs that year.
Well, yeah,
and that was the NLCS.
Yeah.
It was actually the game that I think Kerry Wood just dominated the Braves in Atlanta.
Yeah, he hit the home run. Mm-hmm. He hit a home run in that game that won the game.
So you go forward to game 7, Tiff, of that 04 NLCS. Or was it game 6? Was it game 6? I think it was game 6 because they could put them away and then the Marlins came back and won.
Was game 6.
That's my memory. See, smart. I'm not known to say sugars and calories in the same sentence, but yeah, right? Nobody's ever called me that.
So yeah, shout out. That's a third of your life.
That ball was even more in the stands than this than this one that Betts caught, and it was just what any fan does. This ball is in the glove, and this guy grabs the glove, and then his buddy holds onto Betts' arm while he starts raking the ball out. And they looked like they had been drinking since 8 a.m. And then taking some gummies or something.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy, too, is there were – like I was reading a bunch of tweets last night from people that were there or writers or whatever, and they were like, yeah, there was fans, Yankees fans, that were saying, hey, nice job. Like, you're a hero. You know, it's a championship game. It's no holds barred. And I'm sitting there going, dude, if they would have overturned that catch, like you'd be under federal investigation from Las Vegas gambling places. You know what I mean? Like you just can't do that, man. It's just unbelievable. The whole thing was unbelievable. The glasses guy at night, man, that was funny. I don't know how those people see anything.
It's Alex Rodriguez was villainized for knocking the ball out of the glove when he's running down the first baseline.
Yeah.
I think it was against the Red Sox in that game. That might have been the whatever year they won, 03, I think. Was it 03 or 04?
I actually think the Steve Bartman thing might have been 03. Now that
it might have been 03. I think you might be right. Yeah. And then 04 was the Red Sox. But anyways, regardless, it doesn't matter. It's all around the same time. But it was just – that's way worse.
It honestly reminds me of, do you remember the Red Sox were trying to invite Bill Buckner back a few years back before he passed away? And a lot of Red Sox fans were kind of tweeting or posting like, hey, we forgive you. Come back. You know, we forgive you. And like his wife was like, no. This ain't how this works, man. You don't forgive him. He's the one that needs to forgive you. It was a freaking baseball play. You don't forgive him.
They ruined his life.
You ruined your life.
Yeah,
but on the flip side, these two last night, I'm not ready to forgive them. I hope some bad comes their way.
First off, they don't deserve forgiveness because they haven't apologized. But secondly, it was a malicious act. The Bartman wasn't. But you know, all that said, did you get to ride the Peloton yet?
All right. How about them Braves? No. Not in the morning, but I'm riding in the afternoon. So
riding's riding. Right? It don't matter when you ride it. I mean, I did the Stairmaster yesterday. It wasn't in the afternoon. It was in the morning, but I still did it.
You still did it?
I did.
So it counts.
You did the Stairmaster before the show yesterday?
No, I did it after the show.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Before lunch, but after the show.
I was like, dang, dude, good for you.
Yeah, I'm trying to lose some of those sugaries that I've put in my body.
Yeah. That's a goal for all.
Those are sugar calories if you're not.
We're all trying to do those things.
You just joined in.
Yeah.
Sugar calories?
Yeah.
What are you calling them?
Well, just the sugaries.
Sugaries.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a Squidward.
The Squidward.
The Squidward.
All right, this hour you brought like that, to see? You by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. When we come back, trades are being done ahead of the November 5th trade deadline in the NFL. And what is the biggest threat the Cowboys pose to the Falcons? That and more coming up here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on The Morning Shift, and trades are going down ahead of the November 5th trade deadline. So the Ravens agreed to trade for wide receiver Deontay Johnson from the Panthers. So they have agreed in principle to trade for Johnson pending a physical, the team announced. The Ravens will send a fifth-round pick to the Panthers for Johnson and Carolina's sixth-round selection. The Panthers had two teams interested in Johnson per a league source, and the Ravens came in late within the last week. And then just one more for you. The Vikings acquire left tackle Cam Robinson in a trade with the Jags. In addition to Robinson, the Vikings receive a conditional 2026 seventh-round pick that can go away based on playing time, while the Jags received a conditional 2026 fifth-round selection that can become a fourth-rounder based on playing time, according to sources. Robinson, 29, is in the final year of a contract that pays him $16.25 million this season, and the Jags will pay a portion of the remainder of Robinson's salary.
Yeah, Mike, I'll let you talk about the offensive lineman. I'll tell you one thing. Deontay Johnson bounces around for the main one of the main reasons he bounces around like he has or he's starting to is because he has problems getting along with people, mainly because he never stops talking. He apparently
you left it open for me.
Well, I know, but my job is to talk. His is to play and talk when he does something, not talk after every play, no matter what. He also irked some people in that building apparently very quickly, is the reports. It's not surprising because honestly, I think that's why he's not in Pittsburgh, because I don't think for any reason Mike Tomlin would have got rid of him if he could play and do the things they want him to do and keep his mouth shut.
I agree.
He could only do one of those and play. And I don't think he's a bad player.
No, we've seen Tomlin handle the likes of, you know, not even going to bring up his
the name, worst so. Of the worst. Yes. Let's just put it that way. Yes. As far as attitudes and the way they behave.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And it's funny because Pittsburgh's in the market for a wide receiver. It's like, well, yeah, evidently they didn't want that guy. Cam Robinson, look, man, big fan of his. Obviously, when he's in college, he's had his ups and downs, man. He's had you know, suspensions, things like that. But he's a good player. I don't think he's elite at this point in his career. He's too inconsistent. When he's ready to roll, he can roll. So I think, you know, he's got that going for him. I'd say he's bottom third starting left tackles in the league. I wouldn't take him over Jake, but he's still a good player. Got all the tangibles. I should say, and got the measurements and can get it done. So it's a good move. I think he's been a leader for that team. I'm pretty sure he's a team captain down in Jacksonville, and he's a gritty player, man. So hopefully with a little upside, plays a little grit and gets it done. But
he might have the intangibles as well. Don't sell him short.
Well, yeah, I don't want to. But, yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right, well, when it comes to the Falcons and Cowboys this weekend, what is the biggest threat the Cowboys pose to the Falcons? And if you're looking at it, maybe you're thinking about the defense and the pressure they may try to put on this offense. It is a concern for Coach Raheem Morris, and so he stressed the importance of the defense needing to get off the field, their defense, and their offense sustaining mistake-free drives.
You can't stop people from scoring points, especially when it's your team. But what you got to do is you got to get off on third down to help the time possession so you can give them more clicks at it. You got to have the ability to maintain drives and not get yourself some of those penalties that we got the last couple of weeks. Not specifically yesterday, we were to overcome some, but the week before, when you get those ones, you just jump off sides or you get the false starts, whatever the case may be, to make you get off the grass. But you want to have your time of possession swing better into our favor, and it has, like it did in the second half yesterday.
I love what he's saying there, man, because that, to me, he said get more clicks. I don't know if y'all caught that part, but I think there's a lot to be said about that. And when you have to make adjustments offensively, right, when you have the cerebral quarterback that the Atlanta Falcons do right now, guess what? You're going to have times when you go out in a drive specifically to start a game and you say, man, I wasn't expecting that look. I thought we were going to get this, and we're getting that. We have to kind of go back to the drawing board. What plays work best against that front, this personnel, this formation? And so for Raheem to say, hey, we got to get out of the field because we got to give the offense more clicks, That's beautiful. I mean, that's football 101. Give them more drives. The more times we can have possession on offense, the more shots we have to go score points. And also, when your offense is already clicking and you're going down and driving, much in the way that happened this past weekend, you can go get ahead by a couple possessions, and then all of a sudden the other offense starts pressing. So I love what Raheem has to say there. I think makes a lot of sense. And honestly, it's pretty good insight into kind of the way they think about things defensively.
Well, I wonder now, it makes me just wonder if they're going to play a little bit tighter. I think one of the biggest issues is playing how the depth they play in the secondary. I think it hurts the pass rush. Look, I think you got to win quickly as well. You don't win immediately enough as far as your pass rushers, but it also goes to stopping the run game. And to me, the one thing this Cowboys team can do is pass the football. They're not very good in the run game. In fact, they're the worst team in the league in yards per game and yards per carry through seven games. They've played seven. They had a bye week already. But they're third in yards per game passing. Now, they're dink and dunk. They're only averaging like 6 yards a pass play or a completion, whichever one you want to go by.
Yeah,
it's by the play because of, you know, how passing goes, but that's not the best. So they're also not very good in the red zone, which now sends me back to the fact, well, maybe you do continue to play the way you've played and let them go down there and let them kick field goals all day. I that's been the trend, but I don't want to put myself in that situation.
I got to tell y'all, though, I don't necessarily want the secondary at this point to hug up anymore on the receivers. I think it kind of takes away from what your overall goal is, because if I saw this pass rush getting close to getting home, like if they were falling down at the feet or just missed it by just a count, or, you know, we're hitting the quarterback but not getting the sacks, I'd say, you know what, we can take a chance. We can hug up a little bit more. We have started to run a little bit more man coverage, by the way, ding. But I don't want them to hug up anymore because our pass rush ain't even close right now. So if all of a sudden we're hugged up tighter and you see double moves and they get down the field, and your pass rush still is not getting home 5 seconds into the play, then we're going to get hit with explosives. And look, the mark of our defense right now is not getting hit with explosives. So I'm with you. I think it would probably lead to more sacks, but we're also taking a lot more chances. And at this point, I've seen nothing out of the D-line that leads me to believe that that's going to be the, you know, the course moving forward.
Now, we're traditionally not a team that sacks the quarterback, right? I mean, it's fair to say.
Yeah, that's
sounds terrible
when you say it.
It's
depressing, but yeah.
It's an unfortunate reality that we have to mention. Now, Dak has three passing touchdowns against us in his career and six rushing. However, you have sacked him 11 times in four games, and it's one of his higher sack rates. In fact, he's played Detroit more times, got the same amount of sacks. Played Green Bay four times, got the same amount of sacks. He's played New Orleans, has gotten there more in the same amount of games. Actually, they've gotten there. They've gotten there more. They've gotten there 12 times, the same amount of games. And New York's gotten there. So my point is like, you have somehow, some way, some shape or form, as a team that doesn't rush a quarterback well, gotten him down. So maybe he's a guy that's going to hold it long enough that you will get there. I don't know. Maybe but this is a different defense, so it's hard to say.
You've really liked what you've seen. In fact, we all have really liked what we've seen from the Falcons' run game so far this season. And so when it comes to trying to, you know, go up against this Cowboys defense, Raheem Morris, he talked about how special Bijan and Tyler Allgeier are.
Like, I think he's special. You know, I compared him to, like, Christian McCaffrey, right, of people I'm going against. So, like, every time he does something, I'm like, in wow mode with Bijan. You know, at least Kirk, I got a sample size of it and being with him and knowing what it can look like. But with Bijan, it's different. Same thing with Tyler. You know, Tyler's giving me wild moments. Bijan's giving me wild moments. Our ability to run the football in certain games give me wild moments. And yesterday, having the ability to run it for, I think, 120 or something in totality for the team, where it could have been even bigger with a couple less penalty calls. Man, I mean, I'm really impressed with what we've been able to do with those guys. And it goes back to the front, too, you know, talking about the line and just all the things they've been able to do.
Yeah, I'm impressed, too.
Another 100-yard game last week, all-purpose, over 100 yards for Bijan. Allgeier, he did have the fumble, which I don't want to put 100% on him. I don't think it's on him. This is the worst run the second-worst run defense in the league coming here in Dallas. I mean, they're allowing right at 155 yards a game. I actually think you can do part of what Raheem said in that first cut that we heard about keeping the other offense.
Drives.
Yeah, I think you can do that by just pounding the football down their throats, because I think you can. And I don't know if DeMarcus Lawrence, he's out still, I believe. We don't know about Micah Parsons. We're going to get word on him today about where he's at. He did practice some last week. He didn't play last week, though. Like, I think this has been a good offense at finding what you don't do well and exploiting it. Zach's done a phenomenal job with that. I think you might – this is ground and pound, baby. Let's run – hell, let's run the wishbone if we have to. I don't care if Kirk's in there. We saw
– Don't tip me with a good time.
Let him pump fake. He did it last week.
You know what I mean? Hey, inverted wishbone out of pistol. Don't tempt me with a good time. All right, I'm here for it. And I'm with you, man. Here's the bottom line. You know me, dude. We could walk in here 10 times out of 10, I would say, you know what? Need to run the ball. Need to run the play action. Need to allow this offense line to be aggressive. And I'll tell you this much on the flip side. Dallas's offensive line does not look comfortable moving forward. Like, I've been watching their film, been watching their tape. They, for everything that it seems like Tyler Smith does well at left guard in pass protection, it's hard to watch at times in the run game. So value that, right? If you're a Falcons fan, value that your offensive line loves moving forward, loves falling on their chest, is trying to get downfield and clean things up, because you're about to see a team come in here that is making a lot of money up front that really hadn't played that way. So I'm with you, man. Run it down their throat. See if you can build off that. Maybe, you know, look, man, since Kirk is so fleet of foot now with the 13 rushing yards last week, maybe get him out on a bootleg. You know, I don't even know. I don't want to get too crazy, right? I don't want to get too crazy out there, but a little half boot, a little waggle, something like that. Get that ball down the field, man. But I'm talking about let's go for about 250 on the ground. Let's do it.
Let's dive into some college football headlines on the other side. Which ACC quarterback has got his groove back? We'll discuss that and more when we come back on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Big games on deck this weekend with the Georgia-Florida game going down, and Coach Kirby Smart for the Dogs, he gave updates on the availability of some of their top players, one being their starting right guard Tate Ratledge, who for the last four games has been out after he sustained a knee and ankle injury. He had tightrope surgery on his ankle. He was able to dress out for their win against Texas. Here's Smart on an update on Ratledge.
We're hopeful. I mean, we think he's going to be able to give us something. He worked some last week, took some reps, did rehab over the weekend. Hopefully he's raring to go. I mean, I know he wants to play in this game. It's really important to him.
I think he just needs to sit another week. I think he needs to get healthy. I don't think there's any reason to rush this.
Right.
I think
you guys don't need him to be Florida.
I think Tate needs to be healthy for the stretch run, starting with Ole Miss, because that's a road game. It's in the afternoon though. So, hotty toddy, right?
Yeah, that tightrope. 4 to 6 weeks, man. He's on the front end of that. So hats off to him, the work he's done, because I know they want him back ASAP.
Kirby Smart also gave an update. Thanks for telling me to turn my mic on. on the defensive line side of things and the progress of junior Michael Williams. He suffered an ankle injury in Georgia's season opening win against Clemson. And so they are hopeful to possibly be able to get him back soon as well. So that would be some good news as they go in to face powerhouse in the Florida Gators.
I know what you're doing there, and I don't like it. That team knows where they're at. They know what they aren't right now, and I don't think they need to be reminded.
It was not a shot.
Did your voice get a little scratched there, Bo? Did you get a little emotional? A little touchy?
Like it. I'll say this. This rivalry is one of the weirder ones in college football, because it's not a back and forth. I mean, like Alabama dominates Auburn year in and year out. It's like every ninth year Auburn maybe jumps up, or every fifth year or something. Now, they're close games. They're good games. But Florida-Georgia is one that goes in runs, and a lot of times those runs equal blowouts. I mean, Georgia was dominated in the 90s and early 2000s, most of the early 2000s, by Florida. And since Kirby's gotten there, he has flipped the script, and he's dominating Florida and Georgia. And just like Georgia dominated the rivalry in the 80s. So,
yeah, Hey, anything's
their run. It's their turn.
It's possible.
It's their turn. Let them have
anything's, it. Look how Clemson's turned things around this season. They're looking for their seventh consecutive win. And they take on Louisville, who, by the way, Coach Dabo Sweeney did say this is the most complete offense they've faced since Georgia. Now, one thing working in their favor is their quarterback, Cade Klubnik, who's really turned things around this season. Their offense, by the way, for Clemson, they come into this game basically averaging, 490 yards a game, and the Cardinals just behind them at 460. So this is going to be a high-powered offensive clash, but really Klubnik has been leading the way for that group.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to say about Clemson because it's been a while since we've talked about them being high-powered offensively at all. Like, I don't think they've been even near the top 50 in the last couple of years. In offenses. So, look, I think Cade Klubnik's doing a few good things with his legs recently. It seems like he's starting to really get ingrained in the system he's been able to run there over at Clemson. And I think it's a good thing, man. He's got all the talent in the world. And obviously, Clemson's kind of hitting on all cylinders since that opener.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it kind of has to do with as much as getting familiar with the system as it does what the defenses are bringing at him and his recognition of what they're showing and what they're coming at him with. And he hasn't played the stiffest competition at times, but this is a team that struggled against the lesser teams for quite a few years, and he is, including last year. So good for Cade Klubnik because he's been phenomenal lately. I know you got some numbers.
Yeah, he's completed 2/3 of his 219 passes for just over 1,800 yards with 20 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions this season. So that is pretty impressive.
Attaboy.
Right there. One guy who's looking forward to his matchup this weekend is Ohio State's Will Howard, their quarterback. He's looking forward to maybe taking it to the team that rejected him in the recruiting process.
I'm stoked. I cannot wait. It's going to be a homecoming for me. I grew up a Penn State fan. I wanted to go there my whole life. They didn't think I was good enough, but I guess we'll see next week if I was.
Let's go.
Wow.
If you could, just to give you a visual or describe what he looked like at the podium when saying this, he looked like someone that's got a vendetta out.
Now,
it was like the, what did he call it? The villain origin kind of thing.
Villain origin
story.
That's great and all for him, right? But correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Drew Aller, who is the quarterback at Penn State, grow up in Ohio?
I think you're right.
And he actually, Medina High School in Ohio. Now, I know that he's banged up, and he's right now he's a game-time decision is what they're calling it. But Will Howard might not be the only one with a little chip on his shoulder to face the hometown team, so to speak.
I'll give Will Howard this much, man. With all the talent he's got around him in Ohio State, his numbers are immaculately better than they were at Kansas State. And, he is a super senior. He's doing a lot of good things. Ohio State, and you said this yesterday, I hate using the word eye test. They're not passing the eye test for me right now. There's something kind of off with the way that team is playing with the amount of talent they do have. So I'm with it, man. I like the quarterback chip on my shoulder drama stuff kind of going into a top four matchup this weekend. I hope Drew Aller gets to play, and I hope that he faces off with Will Howard and they can scheme it up and give us everything we want to see this weekend, man, because that's a special game. That's two teams. Penn State's just got to be hoping they get over the hump against Ohio State, right, man? Penn State is just built for this playoff, are they not? Like, it's time.
They are, but that also means they're going to lose two games. Because
that's fair.
Because, this is a team that loses every year. It feels like two games to Ohio State and Michigan. And I don't think that's going to happen this year with Michigan. Have they played Michigan yet, or do they play Michigan? I have to check. I feel still college Bible, but the Ohio State is on the schedule, and this is a big game. Ohio State needs to win this game. They need to win this game.
Needs to win this weekend. Army needs to win this weekend. That is where I will be for my college football game. They are taking on Air Force and Army, the 21st team, 21st ranked team in the AP Top 25. Their offense has been just ridiculous. They're looking for their 11th straight win, and they're averaging over 450 yards of offense a game.
I'm rooting for them, man.
This is going to be a fun one.
Quarterback is phenomenal.
Need to be on the sidelines for.
Is it Dyson Daniels? Is that his name?
The two for the Hawks.
What did you want?
What is his name? What's the quarterback's name? I had it.
No, here's what I'll say, though. And I was talking about the Army. When Navy played Notre Dame last weekend, I am so about these service academies right now at this era in college football. Like, I'm so about them because they're not, it's so much different even than it ever has been, right? So it's just, I love cheering for them, man. They're doing it the right way and they're playing for the right reasons, in my opinion. So I love it.
I wasn't going to let you flounder, but I'll give you a chance to.
Bryson Daly.
There you go.
That's his name.
What did you say?
I called him Dyson Daniels.
The two for the Hawks?
Well, I had the D and the B in there, and it was a Bryson or a Dyson.
You made me have to pull up my notes again because I was like, have I been saying.
He's
studying the wrong name.
He is a baller. He is an absolute baller. I watched him play. I cannot believe I called him Dyson Daniels.
It's just funny. It happens. We all have brain. Look, my brain doesn't work half the time. So
if somehow you're Bryson Daly's family and you're living in Atlanta, I apologize, dear. I watched him play that game that I picked the over for them, and he was you're gonna have fun watching him. I'm telling you. You're gonna love watching him, Tiff. He is phenomenal.
We got meetings on Fridays. Looking forward to that, and then of course we'll get to talk to Air Force on some Zoom calls, actually today. So, this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. When we get back here, we'll get you set for the Falcons and Cowboys this weekend. On the other side of the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean.
It's appropriate that we're going to fly away as we talk about the Falcons.
I'm leaving.
What's that? A hawk makes, a-ha, a-ha. And a Kennesaw Owl goes, hoo-da-hoo. So what's a falcon go?
Well, it's the screech, dude. I can't do it, though. Yeah, I was going to say I'm not going to attempt to, but I'm glad you did, man. There you go. Good vibes.
That wasn't going.
No, don't just. You
get the drop.
I can't do it. I can't do it right now.
I'm sorry if you're in your
car. My throat won't go there. That's weird.
You're going to challenge people to turn the channel if you keep doing that.
While we're talking about screeching and flying away, you know, Quavo actually made a kind of remix and sampled this song in one of his latest songs.
Oh, wow. A rapper sampling another artist's song.
Wait, what does that have to do with screech?
I mean, it was just because Quavo's from here. And
no, I thought you were talking about screech. I thought.
Oh, it doesn't really have anything to do with screeching.
He was incorporated.
Is that it?
Enough. Enough out of you.
That's what I was.
Enough out of you.
Is that a falcon?
I don't think so, but I appreciate your efforts.
Do me a favor. While we're in this segment, look up. Falcon noises.
They play it in the stadium.
I want us to play it through our speakers. This isn't the stadium.
Okay.
I mean, we can have one on cue, can't we? Like in the sand, the drops.
Look.
Every time we mention it, Dylan just boom.
Look, I would like to give you a second to climb up on your soapbox. And said you had something that needed to be said.
Yeah.
To a particular player on a team. That happens to be right here in Atlanta.
He's a falcon. So I like you doing it until Dylan finds it.
I want to give you the floor while Dylan searches for a Falcons call.
So
to say your piece.
Yeah, we want to. You know, I say we. I think it's important that when we get on to guys, right, like the pass rush. Like I've heard people calling out Matthew Judon, and rightfully so. He was brought here to get sacks. He's got 1.5. When guys step up and start playing, and we can call it stepping up moving forward if we want, and we can do this every, you know, once a week or when necessary. After the New Orleans game, Kyle Pitts had 0 catches for kind of obvious 0 yards.
I was going to say, don't say anything other than 0.
Couple of drops. Kinda didn't like think the routes were. I thought there were a couple of times he could have done a little more. And who am I? I've never ran routes in the NFL.
I have.
I've ran routes on an NFL practice field before, the indoor, but it was just me and Arch, and it was just a post.
How'd that work out for you?
I caught it.
Okay.
It was like a 6-yard touchdown against air. So, you know, don't test me, Tiff. But it was bad, and he wasn't very good to start the season. He had a touchdown in the first week, but it was kind of abysmal. In fact, New Orleans was the fourth game of the year. After that game, he had 8 catches. Okay.
Ooh.
He had 8 catches for 105 yards going in, after the fourth game of the year. All right?
All right.
Since then, he's had 21 catches for 314 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's a 14.9 yard clip per catch. So it's 15 yard clip per catch. Through 8 games in his fourth season in the tight end rank, because that's what he is. First off, before I get
breaking
there,
news, tight end.
He's done a phenomenal job in pass pro those last 4 games, I think. Yeah, his screen blocking and downfield blocking still could be better, but he's done a really good job in blocking where we need him. Run blocking.
Let me put it this way. He's shown a willingness in pass protection, all right, that we haven't seen until recently, in my opinion. So
I'll say that
for him.
I thought he was good against Tampa. I saw him one time go 1-on-1 with Yaya Diaby, and he stoned him.
Yep.
Now, you know, that is what it is. But through 8 games in tight end ranks, he ranks 4th in yards, 9th in catches. He's 10th in targets, 1st in yards per catch. He's 5th in yards per game, and he's 4th in touchdown catches. He is top 10 in every tight end category that to me matters. And that is why he was drafted 4th overall to be 1, 2, or 3, I would say, in all those categories. But he's having a phenomenal year. In fact, he's having, you could argue that this is his best season ever through 8 games. He had more catches for more yards, but less touchdowns in his rookie year through 8 games. He had 36 for 546, only the 1 touchdown. He only had that all year. Yeah. I think I heard Wes say yesterday on Dukes and Bell, and I you know, Wes Durham knows his stats as well as anybody out there about the Falcons, you know, his numbers. I think he said he's caught up a third of his touchdowns this season.
Yeah.
Because if you look at our chart, he's got 9 touchdowns in his career. 3 of those are this year. So he has stepped up, and that all of that is with a game where he did nothing. Okay?
Well, essentially
it's through 7 games.
And that's part of the conversation, I think, is it's to me, it's more than about this year. To me, it's the last 4-game stretch. And you mentioned it. There was nothing in game 4. There was very little before that. There was questions. That goes all the way back to Raheem Morris, right, saying stats are for losers. Right, when you start looking at things that are being done, stats are for losers. I don't want to talk about that. Is he doing the right things that he needs to do to win the game and, you know, do some of the other stuff? So I think no matter what it is, Kyle Pitts has played better. Like stats, blocking, no matter what, you know, no matter what we need to talk about, he's played better. So I get it, man. It's I'm with you. I think he's played better. I would argue if you're saying that this has been his best, if you're saying that this has been his best 8-game stretch or season of his career, then it definitely has to be his best 4-game stretch over the last 4 weeks, right? We have to make that argument.
Before you go any further, the rookie year, he had a couple of games where he was just out of this world with yards. And some of that was due to the fact that he was the only guy on that team. I mean, you go back and look, Ridley was in and out that entire year. He didn't make the trip to London.
Reliable. Mr. Reliable.
And you know, like he, because his rookie year, he was really good. A guy had almost 1,100 yards his rookie year. He had a stretch where he had a 2-game stretch where he was over he was just under 300 yards.
Yeah.
And 16 catches. That was against, and a touchdown. It was against the Jets and the Dolphins.
You had pointed out before was the quarterbacks that he's been with, right? So his best years before, obviously, with Matt Ryan. Now he's off to a great start with Kirk Cousins.
You know, D. Ritty, the Cincinnati kid, sandwiched in there as well.
Leadership.
Yeah, well, and look, man, I
but I'm pointing out the numbers. That's why I'm saying Matt Ryan and
no, I know. Yeah, no, I know that's worth pointing out for sure. But I think that's a great point too as well, Bo, because we heard Kirk Cousins in preseason say, look, man, sometimes you have to, hey, I need more right there, right? I need more. The play that sticks out to me from Kyle Pitts this past weekend, right, the first touchdown, not the one that he, you know, we didn't have the camera angle on. The first touchdown to me, he gets physical at the top of the route, right? He's getting kind of mauled in the secondary. I can't remember who was in coverage right there. He's getting kind of mauled, gets physical, pulls a rip move, and gets out over the top. And Kirk Cousins gets through his reads and finds Kyle Pitts. So we haven't always seen that physicality from him at the top of these routes. Lord knows. I mean, there's a clip, you know, 6 weeks ago that goes viral because at the top of his slant he's running, it's awful.
And yeah, I think that was the Saints game, I think.
Right, and to me, that's the biggest thing when I look at it. Can you be physical at the top of the route? Can you plant your foot in the ground? And can you make the moves necessary to make sure you are getting open? And that's what I did see this past weekend. That's why I love it. The 4-4 speed allows you to do it. All right, but the thing like grittiness and toughness and willing to, you know, accept contact and all the other stuff, that's what makes you a good football player.
And you we brought up the rookie year stretch. He had I said he had that two games where it was 16 catches and just under 300 yards. But before that, he had 4 for 50, and after that, he had 2 for 13. And this stretch that he's had, this 4-game stretch, he has put up, I think the least amount of catches he's had is 4 in a game, and he still put up numbers in that. It's just been consistency. It feels like all the way around, it's clicked. And Zach Robinson called him out too now. Zach Robinson was asked after the Saints game, you got to do more to get Kyle the ball. And he says, Kyle's also got to do things. He said, well, he didn't even say Kyle. He said, he's also got to do things. He's got to be, you know, the routes have to be more precise, you know, more precision. And it just feels like we had this whole argument. People were like, well, they're not using it right. They haven't changed a damn thing about how they use Kyle Pitts. Okay? Nothing has changed. So don't. It's just, it's clicked for whatever reason, whether it's leadership, whether he, you know, it was a conversation, a look in the mirror. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't really care.
Yeah.
What I care about is the fact that it's clicked, he's producing, and he's doing everything we need him to do right now.
You say he's stepping up. I say he is, he's rising up.
You know, I asked for that for a whole segment, and you give him that moment.
It's, I'm done with you, Dylan. It was orchestrated. That's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, they did that to me, and I'm deeply hurt.
We are going in the huddle. A superstar receiver out for the rest of the season. More headlines on the way from the NFL. On the other side, the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Time to go in the huddle, giving you the latest NFL headlines, and well, maybe some sort of magic health concoction, a new drink. I think you'd probably be up to try this, Bo, since you're always looking for the fountain of youth.
Does it help me lose weight?
I don't know. You'll have to ask Aaron Rodgers that. But apparently, he has discovered the fountain of youth in drinking cayenne pepper and water. So Thomas Morstead, his teammate, recommended it to him, and he apparently started drinking it before the Jets' Week 8 game and has continued this week as they get set for Thursday Night Football against the Houston Texans. He says he feels better.
Tiff, I think I'm going to default to you on this one. What do you think about this? You're the learned doctor as far as health goes in this room.
I have no knowledge of the benefits of cayenne pepper and water, but according to ESPN, cayenne pepper and water can have several health benefits, including pain relief. And this is all according to various medical journalists.
Is it hot?
Journalists
in putting this article out about Aaron Rodgers.
Is it hot when it's? Is it? How do you think it tastes like? Is it spicy? I mean,
it can't taste good.
It feels like
spicy water.
It feels like something that I would drink, and then I would lay down at night
sick,
and wake up at like 1 a.m. with heartburn so bad that I could not. I'd have to stand up.
Well, Bo, I'm actually glad you just brought that up because I just looked it up. And I'm also seeing that cayenne pepper may improve your digestive health as well. So it can also stimulate the nerves in your stomach that produce digestive fluids, which helps your digestion. So not only a stimulant for pain, but helps the digestive system as well.
If I bring in some cayenne, can all four of us try some tomorrow?
I'm down.
Cayenne pepper and water.
I'll do it.
Can we all try it? Okay.
You're in? I'm in.
One's enough for me.
Not before traveling.
Okay.
That's fair.
Touche.
Don't know what effects it might have.
I don't know if I want to do it before I take the kids trick-or-treating.
Probably not.
Either.
Probably you might want to wait on that.
We can revisit next week.
Well, you'll have all day.
Revisit next week.
You'll have all day to
You never
want to
be on the other side of the neighborhood when you've had some cayenne pepper.
You'll have all day to blow it out.
Run right through you. So.
You think, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. If it's going to hit me, by the time we got through the if we drank it at the beginning of this segment, I'd be like, is this segment over yet?
Trick-or-treat, sir. Can I use your facility?
There are benefits.
Better get a mop in here before we do that.
What am I looking for? Seasonings and all that kind of stuff, right? Like, you know.
Spices.
So
herbs
maybe
and spices.
Do your own research at home. We are not medical professionals here.
Well, God, I hope nobody needed that caveat, but yes.
You never know.
Parla just texted me. You know Parla sells for us. He said that that Becky drinks cayenne pepper and boiling hot water with lemon.
Lemon, okay.
Whenever she doesn't feel good.
You know what? Cayenne pepper is in a lot of the, like, the juices when you go get like a juice shot. But I've never just heard Arden's anyone Garden. Drinking it. Yeah, straight up in water just, by itself. And how much do you put in?
I'm willing to give it a go.
You know, I would rather go pay like $100 and something to get an IV with all the vitamins and stuff I need in it.
Why?
To feel better than drink cayenne pepper and lemon.
Don't let him get out of this without calling him Big Money Bo.
I'm not.
Big Money Bo over here. I'd rather pay $100 for an IV.
I'm paying for a supplement right now, but it's actually really good, and I actually do feel better on it. But that's because we don't get all the nutrients we need in our food because people don't eat right, including myself.
It's not about eating right. It's about the food industry adding. No, I'm not going to go there.
No, but they add
stuff to our food. I'm telling you.
Probably take stuff away as well, but yeah, that's a conversation for another day, another sports channel.
That's disgusting.
We're not, you know.
It is.
That's why I'm eating root vegetables. I'm eating sweet potatoes every morning. Just kidding. Anyway.
That's why I eat steak from Omaha.
All right.
Meat man, baby.
Anyway, so Texans receiver, speaking of the Jets taking on the Texans in Thursday Night Football, the Texans are going to be without Stephon Diggs for the rest of this season. He has suffered a torn ACL.
If I'm not mistaken, I don't have this in front of me. Isn't he a free agent this offseason? I feel like he had some time left.
He's on an expiring contract. Right.
I feel like they changed his contract when he got traded, and it was like, I'm going to play 1 year for Houston and I'll be a free agent. So that's extremely unfortunate for many different reasons. But, that's unfortunate for Houston, Stephon Diggs, all the above. He's going to have that rehab ahead of him. I wonder what his future looks like this offseason.
It's going to be tough. But they do have, a number of receivers on that team that,
Collins, top to bottom, they've got some playmakers. They got to get figured out, though. Not quite as good as they were last year offensively. And, that's one of the things could potentially be holding them back. They'll probably get hot, though, heading towards the playoff, knowing them. So, no doubt.
When it comes to the Colts, a lot of headlines were made. Anthony Richardson checking himself out of the game over the weekend because he said he was tired. He was fatigued. And so then it led to people questioning head coach Shane Steichen as to whether or not Richardson would continue to be the starter of this team. And now we know that answer is no. Joe Flacco is going to be starting for Sunday night's game against the Vikings. So Anthony Richardson has been benched.
Yeah, he might have subbed himself out of the starting lineup with that little move. This is a weird thing. I think some of it does have to do with play, though. I just don't think he's played that well, including 10 of 32. I know some people wanted to say that he played better than the stats showed. But when you don't play well and then you remove yourself from games randomly, you put your spot in jeopardy.
You brought up the numbers, right? You brought up playing, which equates to numbers and what he's done. Here's Anthony Richardson.
You know, I could play football. You know, I've been doing it my whole life. You know, I don't necessarily look at numbers. They said Vic didn't have a great completion percentage his first couple of years, you know, and he's probably one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever do it. So I don't necessarily look at numbers. You know, I just look at each play, you know, for itself because, you know, I don't have the ability to control every single thing that happened every play. You know, I can only control what I can control, and I'm just trying to do my part out there. So if my numbers are low, man, they just low. I just got to pick them up, and I just got to play better.
I don't think that was the stat drop that he thought it was going to be.
Yeah, there's a lot of inaccuracies in that.
this city loves Michael Vick, but I got to tell you, I think Indianapolis is looking for a little bit more out of the Anthony Richardson tenure than what the Falcons got out of Michael Vick's tenure here. I mean, there's no doubt about that to me. So I don't know, man. I guess my question goes back to, is this the right move for the Colts? They're 4-4. They're second in their division. But are you winning a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco as your quarterback? Do you believe that?
I'm not saying I don't believe that, but didn't you see what he did? He walked in and got them a win this season, right? When he checked in. But looking at what he did with the Browns, like, clearly I think he still has it. He got that team.
He was very good with the Browns. I don't know that the Colts version, Tiff, at least from what I've seen, I don't know that it's the same as the Browns version.
Well,
so we'll see.
That is fair. But I'm not counting out, you know,
flat. Be real, though. Be real about what Shane Steichen is trying to do. He's trying to show he can make the playoffs with competent quarterback play, okay? He's saying, if I got a guy that gives me everything he's got every play and is competent out there, I can get this team to the playoffs because that's what saves my job right now. Now, you might have an issue with the GM if you bench the guy that they drafted, but I imagine you had some say in that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. Anthony Richardson wants to bring up Mike Vick. I think he needs to stop, because Mike Vick in his second year ran for almost 1,000 yards. He ran for like 800 yards, and he took the team to the playoffs. That was his first year as a starter. Took the team to the playoffs, beat Green Bay, was the first team to go into Green Bay and beat Green Bay at home. And he never took himself out of a play after scrambling 60 yards, and he did it like every other play. So you know Mike Vick, sir.
And that is what I just wanted to quickly point out before we go to break, is the fact if he didn't say anything, if he didn't come out and say why, if he had just said something different to his coach, do you think that he would still be starting this weekend?
I got to tell you.
I think so.
Tiff, I think there's a lot to that. I mean, look, a lot of quarterbacks that probably nobody will ever hear about have had the wherewithal to kind of reach down and just kind of stretch the knee out, you know, stretch the calf a little bit. Oh, I thought I caught a cramp right there. No, I'm good. I can go back in. taking knee, stretch the groin out. Ah, it's some tightness right there. Oh, weird. He's not on the injury report. Yeah, he was fine. You know, just a scare. Yeah, it's just the fact that he did that, and then you circle back and you cite Michael Vick, who you're not as good as, and, you know, never took you to the Super Bowl. I don't think Indianapolis Colts fans are going to like that. So we'll see.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting. Do I even want to finish saying this? Clean.
Tiff. It's okay. You're allowed to like it. Everybody else does. It's Which One Wednesday coming up on the other side and mic'd up. Here's your tease. You ready? If you're a UGA, no. Would you rather play in the SEC championship game or host a first-round playoff? That might be a scenario they're looking at. We'll talk about it on the other side. It's mic'd up. Which One Wednesday, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. You already know what time it is. It's Which One Wednesday on Mic'd Up on the morning shift. You guys know how to play the game. I give the decision scenario. Squidbilly and Tiff, they give their answers and their reasoning at the end. Dylon awards the winner.
As the winner.
Judge Dylon over there.
Go ahead and concede.
Don't do that.
You got to fight. That's who you are. You're a fighter. You're not a quitter. You're not a loser, Tiff. You're a winner. And what do winners do?
Tiff, I always love when I put all this effort into these questions and you say, I'll just concede.
You know?
It always makes me so happy. So
it does.
Happy. All right. Hey, let's start off here. Let's put it up for debate. You could only use one of these things during the fall months. You can only have one of these items during the fall months. Do you want a grill or do you want a coffee maker? You can only have one of these items during the fall months. Do you want a grill or do you want a coffee maker? Tiff, we'll start with you.
Coffee maker. I don't grill. So coffee maker, I have to have it in the mornings. I have to have it in the afternoon. It speaks fall to me. You can jazz it up even more in the fall. There's all sorts of different creamers and everything. You can make it magical. You can make coffee anything you want it to be.
Make it magical.
In the fall.
You can make it magical.
Christmas coffee. Bro. I don't know. Add some Baileys to it.
pumpkin spice.
I've dabbled in the pumpkin spice.
All right, Squid, what do you say? One thing you can have, is it a grill?
This is like no-brainer question.
This guy over here with his caffeine.
Dylan, what am I? I'm the meat man. There you go. I'm the meat man. I don't drink coffee. What is better during football season than a Saturday or a Sunday with your grill or smoker fired up at the tailgate or your pregame, and you got the smell of the charcoal burning? You maybe have a pork butt on there or a brisket. Or you know what? You're just going to do burgers. It doesn't matter.
You know
because
what,
the grill is going and the smells are flowing and
all
they're
right,
in your
that's
nostrils.
Enough. That's
and
enough.
That is America.
Cut him off. That's
that is
enough.
A fall day in the South.
I'm going to give you this. If I grilled, then yes. But I need to be invited to these things and then I can bring my coffee there. But you win that one.
Okay. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go next. And look, this kind of popped in my head. Dallas Cowboys, they got the star in their helmet. I'm watching the Yankees and the Dodgers in the World Series. I'm not going to go with Yankees or Dodgers. Here's what I'm going to ask you. Would you rather play for the Dallas Cowboys or the LA Lakers? Would you rather play for the Dallas Cowboys or would you rather play for the L.A. Lakers? And, Bo, we'll start with you.
Well, I'd rather have Jeannie Buss as my owner than Jerry Jones, just on looks alone. They're both by the same age. However,
what, really?
I don't want nothing to do with L.A. I'm a Dallas boy from Dallas, Georgia, so why not play for the Dallas Cowboys? The star, the logo is epic. It's probably the greatest franchise in the NFL as far as the legacy goes and the value of it. And, I mean, you know, Dallas is a better town to me than L.A., so give me the Cowboys.
All right. Tiff, what do you think? Would you rather play for the L.A. Lakers or the Dallas Cowboys?
Besides looks, she's getting the job done. Dylan,
is she hot? I don't think I've ever seen her.
She posed in Playboy when she was young.
Look, we're not going based on her looks. Let's go off her credentials.
Well, it's
and
all
how
encompassing.
Many championships.
All encompassing.
Well, that's not all encompassing.
But that's on you. I mean, Jerry's got championships too.
Dylan, can you help me correct my number of how many championships do the Lakers have?
How many do they win as her, the owner?
It's,
though?
I believe 17.
But okay. How many has she won as the owner?
One. I believe one, yeah, 2020, the bubble.
Yeah, the bubble, and that's not even a real championship.
She was still a part of the organization, okay? Anyway, my point is, they have a championship in the last, what?
That's a good point. Quarter century.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
Yeah. Also, last time I checked, I have not heard of the Lakers giving tours to their fans while their team is having meetings.
Ooh, good call.
While their players are practicing or walking through the hallways just kind of trying to go about their business as professional athletes. I would rather choose the circus that is L.A., not the circus that is
She might have got you on the quarter century
thing. I hate to break it to you, though, but Jerry Buss did a lot of circus-type stuff when he was the owner and Jeannie was part of the organization.
Right now, right?
But you said when she was part of the organization, so I'm just, you know, throwing it out there. Mm. Look, I don't think you can go wrong either way.
You can't come back.
But I don't want to live in L.A. You can have the smog.
You can drive just a few hours drive to the ocean.
Yeah.
And the mountains.
You got to see the water.
You have all three different landscapes.
All right, how about this one? And I tease this one going to break. All right, there is a scenario where neither Georgia or Texas, and you got to go all the way down to the fourth tiebreaker. Tiebreakers in the SEC are this. Head-to-head matchups, record versus common opponents, record against the highest place common opponent, which is Florida in both of those categories, and cumulative conference winning percentage of opponents. Those are the tiebreakers in the SEC. So there is a scenario where neither Georgia or Texas go to the SEC championship game. Even after Texas A&M and LSU faced off this past weekend, there could possibly be a rematch. Talked to some Georgia people yesterday. They're good with it, man. Hey, we don't need to go to the SEC championship game. Go ahead and give us maybe a 5 seed. Let us host in Athens maybe the first week of the playoffs. If you were Georgia, would you rather go to the SEC championship game, see one of those teams fall out of it, A&M or LSU, go to the SEC championship game, have ability to win the conference, or just go ahead and phone it in, say they can have that. We're just going to go to the first round of the playoffs. We'll see you December 20th in Athens, Georgia. Which one would you rather do? And, Bo, we'll start with you.
I mean, which one guarantees me in the college football playoff?
The scenario where you are, you know, getting the first round playoff game.
Well, then I'll take the first-round playoff game. I don't have to drive.
I would argue that you can guarantee if Georgia has one loss, and then they go and lose and their two-loss team coming out of the SEC championship game, they would probably get in.
Look, I don't need more expenses. I want my team to rest. Let's get a home game. It's easy. I know you get a first-round bye, so it's kind of six one way, half a dozen the other. It's supposed to be a point where SEC championships still matter, but Georgia's first title came without an SEC championship. At the end of the day, national titles are all that matter. And at the end of the day, Alabama, what sells the helmet each year with the number of titles they have, not with the number of national titles, not SEC titles.
Right.
So give me the one that guarantees me a shot at the national title.
No, man, you're just going to bypass the chance to come down to the bends, maybe face off with an LSU or Texas A&M, get that conference title.
Yeah, you know, what if you get injured?
Lock in that first-round bye.
Carson Beck breaks his leg. What happens?
First-round
bye? Yeah, so what?
That's going to get you closer to the title.
But you're still playing an extra game no matter what.
You just revved him up. Look, I'm taking I am going to take the matchup at home. That's what I'm going with. You said take the home field advantage, have a playoff game in Athens.
Right.
I would take that.
That means that you are playing the SEC. You're not playing the SEC title game, and you have no shot at getting a first round bye.
I don't know if the title game really matters.
Tough one. I mean, Tiffany's logic's off sometimes. She wants to pay higher taxes in L.A. as a player than in Dallas, where there's no state income tax. That's right, Dylan.
That's a lot of zeros attached to that one.
I'm taking California over Texas any day.
How about this one? We'll go, who will have more career touchdown passes from this point forward? Who will have more career touchdown passes from this point forward? Will it be Anthony Richardson or Desmond Ritter?
Anthony Richardson,
from this point forward, let's
forever.
Just go career. Let's
career.
Just go career. Desmond Ritter or Anthony Richardson?
Anthony Richardson, because someone's going to give him another shot.
Yeah.
Like, you don't lose that high of a draft pick and not – someone's going to take a shot in that high of a draft pick is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think if history proves itself right and Tiff – and I agree with Tiff here. I mean, Jameis has still been able to throw some touchdown passes. He was a very high draft pick that was – you know, giving up on, like Marcus Mariota. I see Anthony Richardson. I'm not sure if Desmond Ridder will ever throw another pass in a regular season game.
Yeah.
Let alone touchdown pass. I mean, it's not guaranteed where he's at on depth charts. And Tiff nailed it. First-round draft picks, they get second opportunities quicker than anyone else in the league. Doesn't matter their position. And quarterbacks are at the top of that list, I think.
Yeah. All good calls. All right, we're going to do one more. Sounds like Dylan needs a tiebreaker. All right. So, Freddie Freeman and the Los Angeles Dodgers almost locked it up. Couldn't lock it up last night. Freddie Freeman's career as opposed to Chipper Jones' career, and here's how I'm going to outline it. Would you rather play in one city, win one World Series, or have the longevity, you move coast to coast, play for two teams, and win two or more World Series? One team, one World Series. Two teams, two or more World Series. Which one would you rather have? Bo, we'll start with you.
Chipper Jones. He had a better career overall. And let me tell you something. I'm not finished.
Right, it's not about the numbers.
I am a loyalty person. I'm loyal to a fault. Okay? I'm a ride or die. When I'm with you, I don't leave you. Okay? That's what Chipper did here in Atlanta. And in fact, I think sometimes he might have taken a little bit less to stay here. Freddie didn't have that. Freddie always wanted to go back to California. So he went.
Well, wait.
And I want to be one place.
Over his
I don't like change.
And how the dealings went down. Is that not
true? I'm going to tell you something. He had a chance in those negotiations to say, "Hey, I don't like how this is going. I want this to change." He allowed his agent to have full reign, and his agent screwed him, and he fired him.
Okay, your words. You just said his agent.
But guess what? That was the fifth.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was the fifth.
I think
offer.
She just poked a hole in your argument.
No, that was the fifth.
The agent screwed him. He's crying at the podium.
You
saying
pay
he
your
would
agent.
Love to
hey,
be
all
him.
Right. I was. That they're going to be doing.
I know.
The right
I followed
the
story probably closer than anyone on this show. He had an opportunity. There were like four or five offers, and they kept turning them down. He, in fact, took less money when it all comes down to it with taxes and AAV. Than what the Braves were offering him, I think with the next to last contract. Mm. I'm not blaming Freddie wholeheartedly because I do think his agent screwed him, and I think there's some truth to that. However, your agent, you don't work for him. He works for you. So if you don't like the way the negotiations are going and you get that far down the road, you need to take control and say, I want to be in Atlanta. That's the number one thing to me.
All right,
you didn't
Tiff,
do that.
Tiff, what do you think? Would you rather play in one city, one world title, multiple cities?
If it's been conveyed to me by representation or whoever that, you know, not that they don't want me, but maybe I'm not getting what I want, then I'm going to take my talents to where a team does want
it. Did he get what he wanted? Did he really get what he wanted?
Championships, I don't know. I would have to.
He cried at the podium. I don't think he got what he wanted.
You don't think he got what he wanted?
No, I don't.
You don't think right now he's getting what he's wanted? You don't think right now, running up to your dad after
hitting his walk-off? I got to be honest, man.
The guy cried. He started slow, but the guy cried for three straight games when he came home.
We got to go to break. Did
Freddie Freeman get what he wanted when he was crying at the podium? No.
Do you not think that the Grand Slam didn't make up for that?
No.
How many home runs?
Money,
has?
It's a
money,
tough one, Dylan.
Money and success don't equal happiness,
how many,
Tiffany.
How many,
all right, let him talk. Let him talk.
Let me first say this. This debate right here has been the best Which One Wednesday debate ever, and I applaud both of you. However, this is what Tiffany just did to Bo.
Walk into your trap, take over your trap.
Whoa!
She started slow, ladies and gentlemen, but she came off the top rope.
It's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. Yeah. Ask Freddie Freeman.
I didn't know you could win a championship after conceding it before the game started.
Call her Mark Wohlers, man. She just closes. Call her Mark Wohlers. She just closes.
Dylan, you're UNICEF today, aren't you?
Arliss Michaels.
You're giving charities out.
All right, we have the wake-up call coming up next. Calls 404-726-0929. You can either chime in on which one Wednesday and how I won, or you can give us your thoughts on what the biggest threat is that the Cowboys pose to the Falcons in their matchup this weekend. 404-726-0929. Wake-up calls next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game. We are back here on the Morning Shift getting you set for the wake-up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929 if you have thoughts on my victory of which one Wednesday.
Come back, win.
You can weigh in.
Yeah, or you have to pay a lot of taxes on that victory.
You can give us your thoughts on the biggest threat the Cowboys might pose to the Falcons this weekend.
You know, I've had a couple people hit me up talking about the Georgia, do you want to play in the SEC title game? Do you want to get the first round playoff game at home? And what it comes down to, I think, is, are you guaranteed a slot, depending on who you play, in the SEC title game? And who would the opponent be in the 12 seed if you are the 5 seed with the home game? And it just – there's differing opinions. And Garrett walked in. He's like, I mean, who are you going to get? You know, maybe you get like a Boise or an Army. And I'm like, dude, I don't know if you want the smoke from either one of those teams.
I don't know if you want
them
either.
Like, no, that's not discrediting Georgia. I'm just saying the preparation and the toll it's going to take with two teams like that coming in and giving you your best shot on a Saturday night in the middle of December, cold. I don't know. I might if that's what I know is going to happen, I might play in the SEC championship game in the bins and try to get that thing situated and get that first round bye and head on to post-Christmas.
Mike, so. But also think about path to a semifinal here. So it's like if you're going to play in a quarterfinal game after that, if you're in the quarters, after you get that first round bye, you're going to be playing somebody like Texas maybe. Maybe you're going to be playing Tennessee. Whereas if you get that 5 seed, then you're going to be playing a BYU or somebody, the lowest rated conference champion who pushed through.
Yeah, but you only have to win one game.
You're automatically there.
Easiest path to the semifinal. I mean, you're just winning that game and you're there. So I don't know, man. I think it's different strokes for
you
sure.
You also get to choose where you play. So you don't undersell the importance of the bye. And if you're a high seed, you get to choose what bowl game you want to go to. Now, the 1 seed will get to pick, the 2. But there's a really good chance Georgia is going to be playing here in Atlanta. And then they're going to turn around. And if they win that, they will get to play the championship game here. So
this is way off topic, but everything that you say, I envision it in dad mode now. Now, wait a minute, guys.
Oh, man.
Just listen up. Or let me tell you something. Well, to be honest with you. And so I just feel like you're practicing all those, because my dad had those one-liners that he always says, like, well, what you need to do is, it's ingrained in my head.
Let me be honest with you.
Donnie,
let me tell you
come
something.
On.
His is definitely, let me tell you something.
My dad would be like, no, Bo, let me sit down. Let me tell you a little story right here. Yeah. And
that
then
is,
30
is,
minutes later, you've gotten one piece of advice.
This is you. All right, let's go to the lines.
You know what? I don't like you today, Tiffany.
Let's go to the lines. We got
cut me deep.
Sarah. Let's go to Sarah in Cleveland, Georgia. Good morning.
Guys.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, good morning. Okay, so I'm a season ticket holder. This was my thing with my dad when we were younger. We had tickets at the Georgia Dome when Michael Vick was the quarterback every season. So this has been a lifelong thing for me. This is the first year I've had tickets. I've been to nearly every home game, and as you guys know, we don't do too great at home. So that's one of the biggest threats to me is how are we going to play? Because we look great when I'm watching on Fox at home, but when we get in the bins and I'm there screaming, you know, it seems like for some reason we can't get it going.
That's a good call.
Just for whatever reason.
Yeah, good call.
I appreciate the call.
I will say this. The last home game the Falcons played in the bins, two weeks ago? That they were just sleepwalking through? Yeah, 2 weeks ago. I'm starting to lose track of it right now.
Last week was on the road.
Yeah. So the whole stadium sleptwalked through that entire game, right? And I think the Falcons felt – I will be curious, first of all, what the percentages are. And I talked about this in the postgame a little bit. Cowboys fans as opposed to Falcons fans. If you're a Falcons fan and you have tickets, rise up, literally. Get in that stadium, get there early.
That's what worries me. It's going to be full Cowboys fans.
Well, and that's always the concern, right? So don't get rid of your tickets or whatever. Make sure we're packing that thing out because hopefully we can get a big dub at home. And the second thing is that, you know, you got to come to play as well. We got to get some fireworks going early, and hopefully that's on our side of things. We can get it going. So there's a couple of different things, but I think Sarah brings up a good point. Why seem to play so much better on the road at this point than we do at home? I can't figure that out.
Well, it's not a bad thing that you play well on the road.
It's not really sustainable, though.
It's really not. I don't think it is, but I also think, you know, you've only played three road games, and you've played, five home games, and you're 2-3 in those. I wonder if that's some of it, that the sample size right now.
Sure.
I think maybe when it – the problem that you have is you now have to do on the road what you – what was the old saying? Is you win all your home games and you go .500 on the road, yep, and you're a playoff team.
That's Mike Smith.
You're almost at the point now where you have to win all your road games and split on at home.
So true.
And
so true.
That's not an easy thing to do.
No.
I'll tell you that you look at the schedule and your toughest road game left would be Minnesota and Washington.
I was going to say, those are two pretty tough ones.
Followed in third place, a close third, would be Denver. Because I think New Orleans is a hard place to play, but if you look at the team, it's not as hard of a team. However, it is a rivalry game. So this is Sarah's right, this is a crucial home game.
Isn't it funny that before the season we looked at those three and thought, oh, three rookie quarterbacks, no, those aren't going to be an issue. That's not good.
Let's go back to the lines. We got Menti in his 18-wheeler.
There he is. What up?
Yes, yes, everyone. How is everything? It is so nice to talk to you guys again. Mm. I've been listening, but because of work from time to time, I just couldn't call.
Yeah, work
I would
happens.
Just like to take this moment out to congratulate Bo and his wife on their expecting.
Nice.
And I appreciate you, sir.
Nice work.
Yes, yep, sir. I hope and pray you have a little girl with your disposition. I think that would be so perfect in the universe if you just got that right there, Bo. I think your world and the rest of us would have something very, very polite to see.
Don't you put that hate on me.
Yes.
Also, I remember, you know, sometimes your daddy had these old box Lincolns, and he'll go out from time to time. He come back and there'd be branches in the grill. And a couple of times, you know, he might have a little fur or some blood on the bumper. He's like, "Daddy, what happened?" He's like, "I don't know. I don't know nothing." And then you look at the dash cam, you find out your daddy done rode over a deer or something like that. Dallas Cowboys will not get another championship in Jerry Jones' life.
Oh.
Because he has nobody around him to say, "Daddy, I need to take your keys from you because you don't know what you're doing."
All right, okay? I see where you're going.
As brilliant as a businessman as Jerry Jones is, he is equally as terrible a general manager. And if it's not obvious to the rest of Cowboys Nation and everybody standing around him, y'all just look and laugh at them every week, Dallas Cowboys fans, as they have that blank stare on their face.
Nobody
saw this coming. Yeah,
it can be rough out there, I can't 100%
agree with that. He has drafted a lot of really, really, really good players. The problem for me will always be who he puts at the head of the organization as the head coach.
Bad.
And
it's
he
bad.
Because the one thing Jerry does, I know we got to get the break because we got Jeff Howell coming up from The Athletic. But the one thing that Jerry does is put a guy in that he thinks he can control. He refuses to not. And all that came from what happened with Jimmy Johnson. The one time he did was with Bill, and they were rebuilding then.
All right, when we come back here, we've got NFL National Insider for The Athletic, Jeff Howell, joining us here on The Morning Shift. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 92.9. The game this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We are back here on The Morning Shift and going straight to the wadefort.com hotline. That is where we find NFL National Insider for The Athletic, Jeff Howell, joining us here on the show. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, how we doing?
Good, good. Good to have you with us. Just looking at one of your numerous articles, but you had some trade grades going on with all the trades going on before the NFL trade deadline on November 5th. And we could start with the Ravens there, because now they've got Deontay Johnson in that trade from the Panthers. They're trying to load up, right? That's what you have in your headline.
Yeah, they needed a boost at that number two receiver spot, or at least a little more depth there. I mean, they temporarily lost Zay Flowers last week, and probably had some nightmares of what life would be like without him if he ever went down for an extended period of time. So getting Deontay Johnson sort of reinforces that depth chart, and they paid minimal to do it. I mean, they're going to pay the balance of his salary. It's going to be like $3.5 million the rest of the way, or something thereabouts. And all they had to do was basically drop back, 15, maybe 20 spots in the draft, depending on the compensatory formula, just to bring him in. I mean, Johnson hasn't been a perfect player in his career, but at his best, he's been a big-time playmaker. And, you know, just another piece that could help the Ravens get over the hump.
Jeff, where does this leave Carolina, though? I mean, it feels like you start trading away pieces like this, and it's starting to feel like that maybe you're hitting the reset button all over again. Bryce Young obviously benched. They are going to, looks like, have a high draft slot. What do you think about the immediate future and the long-term future of Carolina after this move?
I wouldn't say they're hitting the reset button again. I think they've been sitting on it for about 3 years. So it doesn't really help. You know, I understand why they did it, because it's not for the draft pick. I mean, again, you're talking about like the difference between a late fifth and an early sixth. That's not a whole lot there. But you do save about $3.5 million, which you can roll into the offseason, and that's not a huge amount of money. It's not going to get you a star receiver or anything like that. But, you know, every little bit helps when you're really at the bottom of the barrel in terms of what you're trying to accomplish roster-wise. You know, the other concern is, depending on what their plan is for Bryce Young over the final couple months of the season, I mean, I know he was back in there because of Andy Dalton's thumb injury. I don't know how long that's going to last, or what they plan to do when Dalton's eventually healthy enough to start. But, like, let's say Bryce Young does get a handful of more starts down the stretch. Taking quality receivers away from him isn't really going to help his development. Now, unless there's something going on behind the scenes in the locker room and they decided that Johnson just wasn't worth having there, then, you know, I would understand that aspect of it. But when you've got a young quarterback, whether it's Bryce Young or Drake May or what have you, you know, a guy who is not necessarily in that Jaden Daniels spot where you have a chance to cruise to the playoffs, you know, you need help around him. Is it really worth trying to accumulate all those Saturday draft picks over the next several days when you're diminishing what you have around these young guys who you're trying to develop, and that should take precedent over every decision you're trying to make right now?
Jeff, with the trade deadline, next Wednesday at 4 o'clock, what are some we're a pass rush deficient team. We do have Matthew Judon, and we got him obviously via trade before the season started, as you know. But what guys are out there that could help a defense in the pass rush category?
I think Za'Darius Smith is one who is probably the best pass rusher who's going to end up getting moved. I mean, there's, you know, Max Crosby, but the Raiders keep saying, you know, they'll tell anybody who will listen that they're not going to move him. And I would guess, this is just my own read, like Crosby's not going anywhere for probably less than 2 first-round picks. So you can probably take him off the board. You got to wonder about Hassan Reddick. Would he be available? I think he would be a good addition just because, you know, he's a guy who has had some postseason success. Has played at a higher level with the Philadelphia Eagles and has been on a pretty good run with the exception of this season for a few years. But, you know, I was asking around yesterday, and it's expected to be quiet now through Sunday night with maybe a little more activity because, you know, at this point, the teams buying are offering up Saturday picks. The teams selling want early Friday picks, and it's going to take a deadline to spur a little more action.
Hanging out with Jeff Howe, NFL writer for The Athletic. Jeff, I'm gonna praise a little bit, and then I'm gonna hold your feet to the fire. I love your quarterback ranking. Yeah. I love your quarterback rankings, man. I always feel like I'm decently in line with kind of your thought process on how things are ranked and you know, who's kind of at the top. I did have a problem this week though. You had Kirk Cousins last week at 16. This week he slides back behind Dak Prescott at 17. Now, I personally think that Kirk had one of his better games of the season, yet he slides in the ranking. Maybe it has a little bit more to do with other quarterbacks going on, but how do you see Kirk Cousins' season? Why do you have him back at 17, and what do you think the rest of the season looks like for a guy like Kirk?
No, that's certainly a fair question, and I'm not surprised to get a little pushback on that one. I mean, Kirk Cousins is playing better. He's on an upward trajectory. I think the last time we spoke, I was a lot more concerned about where he was in terms of his ability to trust the Achilles and to kind of read the field and deliver throws with confidence. He's certainly doing a better job of that now. There's just tough pockets of quarterbacks in some of these rankings. You know, sometimes it's in that sort of mid-range 16 neighborhood. You know, sometimes it's in the 20s. There are other times, you know, 6 to 8 has been a battle. And I got people screaming at me a couple of weeks ago that Jared Goff was 8 and now he's 6. And it's, you know what, like the gap between 6 to 8 is actually, that's a pretty damn group of players. Yeah. There's no shame being up there. You know, more directly or more specifically with Kirk Cousins, you know, he dropped back, which, you know, it's weird when a guy plays well and they drop back a spot. It's usually more about the other players. I think Jalen Hurts is starting to play better. So he was one of the guys who moved up. And you've just got a sort of a crowded area that I've had for several weeks where you got Kyler Murray there at 12, down to about Kirk Cousins. You know, Matt Stafford is sitting there right behind him, and he had a rough go of it for a little while. But, yeah, I mean, I certainly get it. But, like, this is like it's the type of situation where I think if you look at that pocket between 12 and 17, you could make a case for those guys to go in any one of those spots. So I get, like, the optics of falling back despite playing well. It's just some of these decisions are a little tougher, a little more, you know, quirky.
Fair enough.
Hey, Jeff, Kyle Pitts is, I think, having possibly his best four-game stretch of his career. After going catchless against New Orleans, he's had 21 catches for over 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns. How is he viewed nationally? Because I think a lot of fans here are kind of – it's a mixed bag with him.
Yeah, it's about the same. They're just like people around the league are just like the rest of us. We're all just sort of waiting for Kyle Pitts to show what we thought we saw before the draft, and that was elite physical tools and just somebody who, you know, needs some more of it to come together, just to get to that potentially elite tight end level. He's a guy who has a reputation for you need to get him involved early, or you wonder how involved he's going to be able to stay in the game as it kind of materializes. So I think that was kind of a big thing for Zach Robinson to do this season, was to try to make sure he gets in some early touches to keep him more engaged. And, Zach Robinson's a good offensive mind. I think that he's probably the best one that Pitts has had so far in his brief tenure with Atlanta. And I think Robinson is also continuing to find his own voice, his own comfortability in his first chance to have this play calling role outside of the Sean McVay shadow. So, you know, the alignment of two guys who are kind of growing in this together, you know, obviously at different sort of ends of that spectrum, I think that's why you're starting to see it materialize. And then it goes back to Kirk Cousins too, again, becoming more comfortable with the guys around him in the new situation.
Jeff, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about something that made headlines this week, which was Dan Campbell kind of teasing a possible trade for the Lions, enough to make him kind of get some pep in his step while standing at the podium, jumping around. Do you have any thoughts on possibly who could maybe be ending up at the Lions?
I mean, I think it'd be great if it was Max Crosby, but, like we already talked about, I don't think it's realistic that he's going to move at this point. But, yeah, I mean, the way Dan Campbell was jumping around the other day, I thought they were about to acquire Lawrence Taylor, and I'm actually pretty shocked that there wasn't a move yesterday. I mean, that's just – they're so transparent about what they want, about who they want as a player, and they don't shy away from how aggressive they are. You know, you've got Brad Holmes coming from the Rams and the whole, you know, screw the draft picks mantra and all that stuff. And, you know, this is a team that is absolutely primed to win a Super Bowl, and they've been active on the pass rusher front over the last couple of weeks. And again, I'm pretty surprised it didn't happen yesterday. I guess it probably comes down to what they were willing to pay and what these teams are kind of holding out for, because pass rushers are always going to draw a premium price, or as, you know, relatively speaking, for trade deadline prices. So you could just have a team that's saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, I know you're a contender. I'm not jumping up and down to try to help you right now. And maybe a guy goes down on Sunday, maybe we can drive the price up around. So I think that's why you're seeing a little bit of a stalemate. There's been a flurry of activity. I want to say about 8 trades over the last 2 or 3 weeks. So it looks like we're set for a potentially wild trade deadline, but I think you usually see this final stretch of about 5 days, you know, before the dust settles on that final Sunday before the trade deadline, where it's just a staring contest and everybody's waiting to see who blinks.
We know you'll be all over it, so I can't wait to see how this all shakes out, Jeff. Thanks so much for joining us.
Of course. Thanks a lot for having me. Appreciate you guys.
That was NFL National Insider for The Athletic, Jeff Howe, joining us here on The Morning Shift. You can follow him on X at Jeff P. Howe. Stay with us here. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Some steak tips are on the way next on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Going along here on The Morning Shift, I need to give you the floor again. Well, this time actually for a good cause.
Yeah, Browngrass Charity Golf Classic is November 25th. And that is what, Mike, 27, 28 days away? I don't know. My math's not very good.
he said earlier today, Tiff, he goes, we got 31 days. And I was like, nah, that math ain't mathing, bro. I don't know what you've been looking at. It ain't 31 days away. We're getting tight.
There are a limited amount of spots left. Limited. And look, guys, you need to go ahead and sign up as soon as you can because there will be a swag bag that you need to get. And in order to get it properly, you need to sign up so you can get your sizes in. There may or may not be some apparel this year given out just for registering at the Browngrass Charity Golf Classic. Get over to the 92.9 The Game website, go to the event page, and it'll give you all the information to sign up. It is for a good cause, like Tiffany said, Pets for Vets. My favorite charity, so get it signed up today. I know that this guy right here is going to be there.
What you got on the floor there, man? What's that? There's something on the floor. Just, it's a cup.
Well,
of something.
I don't like to have condensation on the console.
Can't even see it. It's so well
he didn't want to face his demons over there in Tiffany.
I almost went pure turbo coffee. Listen, what do I have to do to have you guys be as excited to see me as you are Rusty Manziel? Because I'm starting to feel like when Rusty comes in here, there's, you know, I think the word is ebullient. Is that a good word?
Wow.
Right?
That's like an Aaron Rodgers word. I don't know, man.
You're like ebullient.
I don't know.
Because he comes
Can you use smaller words? I don't even know what the hell that means.
It means really excited to see him. This is going to be a great segment. I come in here, it's like, okay, yeah. I mean, yeah, it'll be good, sure. But Rusty's like, we love Rusty.
We can talk to Rusty for days.
It's why they say that for most companies thrive when you have a true competitor, right? Like now I know that Rusty's in on Thursdays. That's why we were a better radio station 20 years ago when that other station showed up and we just started burying them because we had a competitor.
Yeah.
We had a North Star we wanted to crush, and I don't want to crush Rusty, but it's going to make me take up my game. So
you should want to crush him in this segment. I mean, you're not going to hurt his feelings. He knows competition. He'll step up.
He knows what time it is.
Yeah, so I'm going to make sure that at least I'm at a level of excitement when I walk in. Here's what I want to talk about. Great conversation about Freddie Freeman this morning, especially the highlight was when Dylon laid Bo out just right in the middle of the road and ran him over.
Yeah. Then he backed up. Through backed reverse. Up,
right? All right, so do you think
the trap take over your trap?
Do you think that we are unique? And I was thinking about Atlanta in that the absolute iconic, most popular, greatest athletes, most popular athletes all exited Atlanta and many in just unbelievably painful fashion. So I think I can say that Deion Sanders, Mike Vick, Matt Ryan, Freddie Freeman, Dominique Wilkins, these are the most popular athletes in the history of Atlanta, right?
I thought Tom Glavine might be on there.
I don't put him at the same level as Chipper, right, who stayed.
No, but
right?
Chipper stayed. Yeah, but
he's up there. But
when he left, it was painful.
He ain't Deion, brother.
But he went to the Mets.
Okay. But
in his prime.
But think about, listen, we're the most black city in the NFL, in the NBA, and everything else. So with all due respect, Deion Sanders and Mike Vick were the perfect two athletes for the perfect city of all time, right?
Yeah, I don't
we
disagree with that.
We had prime time and Mike Vick. Now, one guy ends up in federal prison, which is just insane, that our greatest, most popular player. Right. Deion, basically, the Braves helped Deion's exit because they traded him to the Reds. The Falcons didn't like the two-sport thing. The Braves didn't like the two-sport thing. John Scholes resented Deion, right? So
yeah, that's where it really started,
right?
Yeah, Schuerholz.
Because you were here, so I was here. It wasn't 94.
Yeah, it was the rub with Schuerholz was deeper than people thought.
Tiffany, we lost Dominique Wilkins and Deion Sanders like in the same year, right?
That's like devastating.
That's just like that is not how you want it to go, right?
I still remember where I was sitting the moment I heard Dominique Wilkins got traded
for Danny Manning. Now Stan Kasten, listen, I've been doing some research. They're like Dominique Wilkins traded in the prime of his career, same as Deion. Slow your roll. Deion was in his fifth year and about to go win Super Bowls in San Francisco, Dallas, and Baltimore. Dominique was 12 years in and was never a factor in the NBA again. He ends up in Boston on a playoff team with the Celtics that was horrible. He ends up in Greece. He ends up in Orlando. He ends up in San Antonio.
What hurt about Dominique being traded was the year the Hawks were having.
Yes. They were number one seed.
I think they won 50 games that year. That was unheard of for us with the Hawks. Yeah,
Dylon, look up 1994 Hawks. I think we were a one seed,
and
we lost in the first round, maybe to the Miami Heat.
More recent history. Did we lose Matt Ryan and Freddie Freeman in the same year? Was that the same year?
Great question.
Garrett's saying it is the same year.
That's the couple of MVPs.
I mean, you want to talk about
– Yeah.
Yeah, so Freddie leaves in the most normal form of – I know you don't like how it plays out, but at least it wasn't as bizarre as the Deion baseball or – listen, Brett Favre also was an Atlanta Falcon that got traded. You know, we all know that he was Buckhead Brett, which is like we can't keep this kid's head on straight, right?
Also, yes, Steak, you were right. 57-25, that 94 Hawks team did finish first in the East.
Yeah, number one seed in the East trades away the greatest player in franchise history while you are the top seed for a soft NBA player in Phoenix named Danny Manning, who they're like, well, Danny Manning's 6 years younger. He's going to re-sign.
These are the Clippers then, yeah.
And then he season ends, and he's like, right, so the Clippers. And he goes, I'm not re-signing. I'm going out west. I don't like it in Atlanta.
So the state of the city, then.
You get nothing.
Yeah, it was awful.
You get nothing.
And you blew the season.
So, listen, I was trying to think about are there most cities. I mean, listen, most cities guys aren't lifers. But boy, did Atlanta have to deal with a combination of just like losing their guys, right?
Yeah.
Dale Murphy leaves on the back end of his career, which
traded to the Phillies.
Yeah, a little more. Yeah, that was painful.
There's been
a
lot of back end, like to your point, Tom Glavine, you know, John Smoltz. There's been a lot of back end of the career moves that you're like, God, I hate this.
I mean, Matt Ryan.
Julio Jones.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's more normal.
It's back in.
That's more normal.
Yeah, it's back in.
Matt Ryan gets railroaded for Deshaun Watson. Deion Sanders basically says Rankin Smith and the Falcons will never win. And by the way, they don't offer me a deal. Dang. And Mike Vick, we know what happened to him. It hurts. I'm not enjoying watching Freddie Freeman going crazy. I'm not enjoying that.
It hurt. When Deion left, it hurt because he went to San Francisco, and that was your rival at the time in the NFC West, and they beat you like a drum every year, twice a year.
And they go win a Super Bowl. He went to a Super Bowl there.
Freddie goes to the Evil Empire and the Dodgers now. Yeah. That's what I heard about.
Listen, Mike Vick in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Remember when he came in
here? I do.
Andy Reid puts him in to throw touchdown passes.
Yeah,
it was unfortunate.
Late in the game.
Yeah, it sucked.
You were on the field then.
Yeah, I was.
You were on the field when Mike Vick was on.
Yeah, well, he wasn't on the field, but he was on the sideline.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I wasn't out in dime defense.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Who was their starter in Philly? Donovan. And they put in Mike Vick to throw touchdown passes.
Donovan was still there. They were up there.
Right, we got to go. I don't want to be late for my show.
Anyway.
We got Sandra Golden in the house. The queen is back. Lots to get to. This Freddie conversation. We'll continue too. Why do all nice things leave? Why do they leave us like that? We'll talk about it.
Yeah. All right, that's it for us here in the Morning Shift. Steakhouse is next on Sports Radio 99 The Game.